Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark. I'm back with Dave. We're here to talk about the Thunder kicking ass over the Nets, bro. Now we've won 6 out of the last 7, bro, but all we can focus on is the road ahead.
Yeah, why not? I mean, we've got 4 games left at home and 8 games away. We've got to really be able to focus and push this out, because when push comes to shove, we need to have an incredible last 20 game record. And right now, you know, we've got 6-7, you know, losing one game. We still have, 13 games left. So we have, you know, quite a bit of time to go. But man, I'm feeling really, really good of how we've been able to start this last 20 games of the season so far.
It's been a hell of a game, bro, against the Nets. We got to look at this and say that this game actually represented a kind of a transition for us from the regular rotations. Now, we saw the normal thing. Shea played his regular pattern, right, where he played the full first, sat the part of the third, the second, then played the full third, sat part of the fourth. That was normal. But when you look down the charts, you realize a lot of these guys that normally get minutes off the bench were getting very limited minutes. And it was like coach was kind of experimenting a little bit with a shortened rotation.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he was doing. You know, I don't know if it wasn't the other guys weren't playing as hard or what he was looking for at the time, but you saw him really go 7 deep tonight or last night. And Jay Will was the only player that got under 35 minutes on as a starter. So you got Jay, Dub, Shea, Josh Giddey, and Lou Dort. They all averaged, you know, they all put in 35 plus minutes. So for me, that's really big to see how coach is shortening the rotation. Obviously, when we get healthy and we get more guys back, that rotation will look slightly different. But I like that. I like Lindy Waters getting 20 minutes. I like Isaiah Joe getting 24 minutes. We were going for shooting out there. And obviously, those two guys are our best shooters coming off the bench. And I was really impressed with how we were able to play out there. I'm excited about this, man. This was a really good win. If you look at it, they scored 25 points in that fourth quarter. But the reason I'm bringing this up is that they only scored 12 points in the last 8 minutes and 11 seconds. Our defense locked that shit down. Coach D called timeout a couple times, and they would score. Coach D would call timeout. It went back and forth. And I think there was like 6 minutes left in the game, and or 5 minutes left in the game. We didn't score, and they didn't score for over 2 minutes, guys. But our defense was so locked down that it didn't matter. And we put up 31 points in that fourth quarter without scoring for 2 minutes straight. So it shows you where our team is at right now, and it's really powerful because we needed to come out and just stomp ass today, because we didn't need to have another game where it was going to be close to the end. And what we were able to do in that third quarter to separate the Nets and us was truly spectacular. We scored 38, they scored 20, and we got that separation there, and we're able to carry it on into a double-digit victory, which is great for this team.
Yeah, and as far as defense, we saw a total of 8 steals combined by the starters. And each starter got at least 1. Jay Will, Jay Dub, and Giddey each got 2. And speaking of Giddey, bro, we got to see him put up a triple-double. He went for 15 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists. What a game for him. Just really being the maestro we needed. This was not in any way an easy game, a smooth game. This is a game that the Nets wanted to muddle up. They were able to create the types of advantages they wanted, getting downhill, hitting the paint, spraying the ball. Jacques Vaughn is doing a good job,
great job
with that team. And in a way, we made them look like the Spurs.
Yeah, we made them look like they're rebuilding all over again. And that's exactly what we need to be doing to a team like the Nets. We don't need to be going out there and letting them stay in the game. We don't need to be going playing against the Spurs and letting the Spurs stay in the game right now. Like, we need to go out there, dominate, get the games over with as quickly as possible to get some of these guys rest, because we're coming up on the last part of the season and we're sitting in 8th place right now, man. This is a really good spot to be at. And I think it's kind of funny because we're coming up on Thursday night against
the Raptors.
The Raptors, thank you very much. And who has been our biggest nemesis this year, bro?
Tell me.
The 500 mark.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're playing against our biggest nemesis on Thursday to get to that 500 mark. I think we can do it. I hope we can do it, because if we can get past that, it's not going to be this nemesis anymore. We're going to be able to fly right past it and keep on going, because this team is in sync. They're playing really well, and they're playing powerful. Like, think about it, guys. Powerful. We've got a starting lineup that includes 2 rookies, right, guys, and a sophomore. And we're dominating out there. The 2 rookies are heads above the rest right now. I know Josh, we'll talk about Josh Giddey's triple-double in a second, but J-Dub is playing truly spectacular right now. 23 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. he's doing everything out there. He shot 80% from field goal yesterday. Man, he's so separating himself from the rest of the pack and the rest of the draft that I have to say, this is, to me, is going to continue going like this. Then we're going to see J-Dub jump Paolo in the last rankings.
Yeah, bro, like 23 points on 10 shots. Like, I can't think of anybody to compare that to because of, like, yeah, I've seen other people have efficient games like that before. But having an efficient game like that while you also have a player like Shai scoring 35 points.
35.
Right? He went 35, 7, and 4. Just, like, absolutely, you know, domination, doing everything he needs to do, right? Then, on top of that, Lu Dort goes out and puts up 16 shots and scores 24 points. Gets 9 rebounds. Like,
wow.
So, J-Dub got the fourth least number of shots amongst the starters. Mm-hmm. And he ends up with 23 points, bro.
That's insane. Because he's efficient. And you look at what he's doing and how he's getting to the hole and how he's finishing at the hole. Like, that's the most impressive thing about this all. Like, we can sit here and say, yeah, his mid-range game is great. But he's 6'5.5", right? Getting to the hole and finishing against big guys. Like, have we ever seen a 6'5" guard be able to be in the lane like he is, posting these guys up and then finishing like he is? Like, he gets the ball, right, on the other side of the block, takes one dribble, and he finishes with a reverse layup at the rim so nobody can block him. Like, he's a freshman. He is a rookie, guys, and he's doing things that players do when they're in their fifth year of playing. And I keep on watching him like, damn, you know? And he's amazing. Amazing. But the facilitator on this team, bro, the facilitator, the person that's starting to play a lot of point guard and we're seeing him play and take over that ball and passing the ball around is Josh Giddey, man. He is next level. We can dish this up any way we want, but Josh Giddey with his triple-double last night with 15 points, 10 assists, and 13 rebounds, man, with two steals. Like, Josh Giddey is the key to it all. And I've been saying, you know, the key to our championship run is Usman Jang. But the reality is, and the way he develops, but the reality is having somebody like Josh Giddey who understands the game and understands that he doesn't need to score. But when he does score, what he's going to do is get to the hole and get down, bro. All he has to do to complete the circle of how good he's going to be is learn to get to the foul line. He has to learn to get to the foul line, and Josh Giddey will be a 20-point scorer. Okay, guys? Well, it's insane. He doesn't need to be a 20-point scorer. That's what's so crazy about it. He could be averaging 12, 14 assists a game through the season and put up 12 points a game and be happy with that. But Josh gets downhill so well, and he gets a smaller guy on him every single time that, to me, there's no reason why Josh couldn't average 20 points a game because nobody can guard him because he's 6'9", he's strong, and he gets to the hole like Larry Bird.
Yeah.
And this is not the time of in the league where people have, okay, we got Shai out there, we got J-Dub, you know, we got Dort out there, so how are we going to guard Josh Giddey? Well, let's go ahead and take a small forward on him. Let's put a power forward on him. Well, guess what Josh does? Goes around them, mm-hmm. Scores. So then they're like, okay, we'll put a shooting guard on Josh. Well, guess what? Josh rises above, gets in the post, rises above. His IQ and what to do and where to score and how to get to the spots to get the ball to the guys that are open is what this team makes this team go around, bro. And Josh is that key, bro. He's the key to it all. And watching him last night be the facilitator and getting to the hole and taking it on himself to get the rest of the guys in the game, he's the reason that Dort got in rhythm. He's the reason that J-Dub got in rhythm. He's the reason that Shai got in rhythm. It starts with Josh, and then it goes around. There's no reason why Josh got more minutes than anybody else other than he was being way more effective than anybody. And that's saying something because you had J-Dub having a great game. You had Shai having a great game. But when you're having Josh Giddey that creates this massive mismatch on all sides of the court, you got to keep him out there.
Yeah. And he got to the free throw line one time on an and one. It was a foul that they generally haven't been calling for him.
But why did they call it? Layup. Because on the other side down, he got called for the same foul. And okay. He looked at the ref and he said, I need that call on the other side. And the ref said, I'll give it to you if it happens. And then what does Josh do? He goes straight to the line.
Right.
Straight to the hole and straight to the line.
And so it's going to take time. I think mostly he's getting the contact. He's big enough where he can go through the contact. So ultimately, it's learning how to sell the call because it's there. Those opportunities are there. Getting to the free throw line basically means, you know, doing some sort of reaction so that the official sees you move after the contact, similar to the way that you are supposed to fall down when you get hit with a charge. You're supposed to move a little bit when the guy comes and swings down a bit. But Giddy's so strong, nobody notices, and that's fine. He'll learn how to do it. But, bro, like, looking at this game, it was a team effort. Dort, who's gotten a ton of shit from everybody recently, 24 points, 6 of 11 from
deep. Got that flex on for Dort, man.
I mean, I love him out there shooting the ball, but, you know, when they're missing, everybody kind of is like, oh, man, what's going to happen? But when they're making, we need to celebrate it because this guy's working really, really hard. Obviously, shooting a lot of threes is part of our entire team's game plan, but if they're going to let one guy shoot it, we've seen in the past what can happen, especially if he gets hot at the right time going into the playoffs. He's a problem for teams to guard. I know there's a lot of questions about his efficiency, but that's fine. We got Shea, we got Giddy, we got J-Dub. These guys are, you know, creatures of efficiency. Dort creates extra opportunities, extra possessions for pretty much every missed shot he has. So we just got to let him go out there and run.
Yeah, and I want to bring up Shea real fast because I watched his interview after the game, and it really kind of inspired me because I've seen a lot of interviews with Shea when the other players come in, you know?
Yeah.
And he's always like super serious, like, get out of here. Come on, leave me alone. Why'd you dump water on me? Like, he's always serious. At first, I thought he was always just joking around, but he's not. That's who he is, you know? And I saw this interview with Patrick Beverly, bro, right? And it was talking about Shea's rookie year, okay? And Patrick Beverly was like, Shea's going to be a great player. He's going to be one of the greatest in the league. And he goes, let me tell you why. It's because when he found out that he was being traded for Paul George, he got mad. Not mad because he's going to Oklahoma City. Because I was like, bro, Oklahoma City's a good place to go, right? Patrick Beverly's letting him know, good place to go to Oklahoma City. But he's like, he's not mad because he's going to Oklahoma City. He got mad because he got traded for Paul George. And he said he was already better than Paul George. Think about that, guys. In his mind, as a rookie, he was already better than Paul George, right? And then in the interview, they asked him, they said, somebody asked him, I don't know who it was, but said, you know, why don't you argue the refs? Why don't you voice your opinion more about what's wrong with them? And he said this, I like to have conversations with them. No matter how hard they try, they're not going to get them all right. They have a job, and that at the end of the night, nobody is like, thanks to the refs. Bro, that is superstar mentality. That is the superstar that you need in your locker room to make everybody else better. It's that Kobe, no shit, no nonsense mentality. It's that Michael Jordan, no shit, no mentality. I'm not taking it. Let's get it on. That's what Shea is all about. That's why we are going to win championships, is because Shea is teaching these younger guys how to have professional habits and how to have a professional mentality in life. And that develops young talent.
Absolutely, guys. We appreciate you guys joining us. If you would like to hear our episode about Usman Jang and how he is the best big 6'10" guy in the league, click on that link. Dave, where's that link at?
Right around there.
All right.
Gotta push that button.